Thanks for joining us for episode one of the 3030 Ministries podcast. This is Brad Gill, and today we're airing from South Africa as we take a break in between a pair of youth camps with our partners Craig and Zaria Vessels with Africa Expectations Safari. Right now, we invite you to join us for a long flight over the Atlantic Ocean to the country of South Africa, to the province of Limpopo, to the small town of Bandelierkoop. Take a long ride down a dusty dirt road as Jeff Horn and I sit under a shade tree on the edge of a watering hole in the bush. Myself and Jeff Horn, we just kind of slipped away just to kind of get our thoughts together and kind of talk about what we've seen over here and just how awesome it's been. So, Jeff?
Yeah, and as Brad was talking, y'all have to excuse us if we get sidetracked. There was a noise behind us. And again, we want to remind you that we're in the bush.
It
turned out just to be a bird. But
not a rock python.
And if you don't know what that is, look it up. It is scary.
It'll make you turn around if you hear a noise in the bush, for sure. Yeah. Yes. We get a lot of questions about South Africa and what's it like to go to South Africa. And we fly out of Atlanta, and the flight is about 15 and a half hours. If I can make any suggestion to anyone flying to South Africa, bring a set of headphones and then bring a backup set of headphones, because there are movies on the plane. But man, if my headphones went out, I'm not sure how I'd handle that. But anyway, so we fly into from Atlanta to Johannesburg. Last year being our first time, we were super, super nervous because I had essentially never been out of the country, and so I was real nervous about that. But Craig and Zaria, they really kind of, you know, walked me through that, or walked us through that, and we made it, and everything was great. But so we fly into Johannesburg, and we have a driver meet us, and took me, Jeff, or other ministry partner, Jeffrey Gunner. He comes over here with us, great with the kids, great with games, and man, he's just, in fact, they call him the teddy bear, and that's pretty much what Jeffrey is, and yep. he plays that role so well. And so we flew into Johannesburg, and we went to, it's kind of like a bed and breakfast place where they take good care of you there in Johannesburg. And then the next morning, we take a much smaller flight. It's only like 30 minutes to a very small town. Well, it's a pretty good sized town, but
small airport
in a town in the province of Limpopo, which is where Africa Expectation Safari, where Craig and Zaria live. And Craig waits at the airport for you and takes your luggage, puts it in his car, and then you're about 45 minutes, an hour north, and you show up. So for the first time ever, we've got a little bit of jet lag going on and all that, but you know what? God didn't call us here to be comfortable and to get lots of rest, and that's perfectly okay. So we show up at camp. And guess what? The campers have been here for like a day and a half, and man, they're ready. We had to really hit the ground running, and this was a different camp for me. It's just like, man, when you preach and when you teach, and we don't get fancy, or we don't even get deep, man. All we do is come over here and share the gospel. And it's just pure, simple form. And it's just like, you know, the reaction is just like, man, they just soak it in. Versus like in the United States, you know, we live in the South, Bible Belt. You know, you hear the gospel, you're growing up here. A lot of people growing up hear the gospel. They may not all have responded to the gospel, but they've heard the gospel. And it's like, but when you get over here, it's almost, my impression is, it's just like, almost like, man, they haven't heard the gospel in its purest and easiest to understand way. And that is that, you know, we're separated from God at birth by sin, but God loves us and so much that our sin requires a blood sacrifice and a perfect blood sacrifice. And Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. And by simply believing on Jesus, trusting on Jesus, and then confessing him as Lord and making the decision here to follow him, to give him our life. And they look at us, it's just like, wow, that's simple. And it's like, man, I don't know. It's either watered down here, and I don't know, but it's either watered down here or added to or modified. And I don't know. That's been my impression here, that it's just, they're just not hearing the simple gospel message.
And to add what Brad said, it's almost like they're hearing it for the first time. And they're in such need of hearing the truth that like he said, they just soak it up. And again, living in the South, I guess you hear the gospel preached so many times that you may get immune to it, I guess. I don't know. I really don't have an answer for that. Why it's so different over here. It's just like they're hungry for it. It's almost like they're hungry for spiritual food as much as physical
food.
Right?
Yes, yes.
In one of last year's camps, we actually had two last year. There was three young men in that first camp that we had. And last year we presented them with some Bibles because we don't know, you know, how accessible they are over here. So we gave them some Bibles. And, I mean, it was like, you know, Christmas morning when they received those Bibles.
Yes, yeah. That shocked me, too. The reaction to receiving a Bible was just like, man, you know, you and I think about, you know, oh, I need a Bible. Let me run down to Walmart. And I can pick from, you know, NIV, King James, ESV, you know, what do I want? And just buy a Bible or three or 10 or whatever. But they were like, and actually we saw a reaction just like you were fixing to talk about, you know, the reaction when they received last year. I had kind of forgotten, man, what a big deal that was. And then when we handed out the Bibles this year, it was just like, man, they were like, just like you said, Christmas morning.
Right. Yeah. And so, last year we actually had those three young men, and I can't remember what night it was that they actually went in their rooms and took their Bibles out and was doing their own Bible study, which is unheard of for, I think it was 10 and 12 year old young men.
I've never heard that ever, and I'm not saying it had never happened, but I've never heard a story where, you know, a group of our campers in a 30-30 Ministries camp. And this points back to the hunger for the gospel, I think, in this country. But where three young men went in and said, hey, you know, everybody's gone to bed. Hey, let's open our new Bibles and do a Bible study.
Yeah, so they, you know, they did that night, and they come back the next morning for our morning meeting or breakfast or whatever, and explained to us what happened. And it was like they started studying the Word, and one of the young men said, you know what, I need Jesus. I'm not saved. And so the other two young men led him to Christ right there in the bedroom at camp. And that was really, really awesome.
That is great proof right there that the gospel message is a simple message to understand once the Holy Spirit begins to deal with an individual. It's not complicated. And I think so many people want to make the gospel message complicated, but two young men led their friend just to Christ.
Right.
He was excited to tell me the next morning, because, you know, that points to the new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. He was a new creation, and you know what? He was ready to tell somebody.
Yeah, and this young man actually came into the camp without his parent. There was somebody else chaperoning him. So it was three campers and two chaperones. One chaperone was responsible for him and her son. And you could tell that he was kind of, when he got there, he was kind of down a little bit for, you know, whatever reason. Not like he was depressed or anything, but just he just didn't seem as cheerful as the other two boys. But after that night, it was a different story, I think. You know, just seeing him out in the yard playing and interacting with everybody, he just, well, he was a new creation. So
that's
what
right.
else could you say?
That's absolutely right. So, well, let's fast forward a year later, and here we are. And we had one husband and wife in camp. They really needed some discipleship. They really needed some encouragement. This is one case where the husband and wife had both been kind of burnt by the church. And both of them are born-again believers. They had both shared testimonies about when they gave their life to Christ. Both of them had, you know, followed through in believer's baptism. But they had, I remember the dad telling me, he's like, and we hear this story a lot. It's like he had been saved for a month, and then things were great, and then it was like, now what? And then he didn't have that support system of the church there. And, it had led to bitterness.
And like Brad said, not only was this a different camp than what we're used to, this camp actually started on a Saturday, where it usually starts on a Friday evening. It started on a Saturday evening. We got there just a little bit after lunch, and like you said, the campers was already there. So we arrive and pretty much eat dinner and then, you know, bus right into the camp. So we meet this couple, and we're talking with them, and like Brad said, we over our conversation and everything, we found out that they were born again believers and had been baptized, and And you could just tell that, you know, there was something going on in their lives that they were a little bit, I don't know how to explain it, kind of standoff, but you could also feel that they wanted to talk to somebody. And that, I guess, you know, they were looking after the kids, of course. They were seven kids in camp. They were all a little bit younger. They were in this probably around the sixth and seventh grade, which is, you know, right at the young age for a 30-30 camp. But you could tell that they needed to take care of the kids. And, of course, they wanted the kids to go out hunting and experience the bush and everything like that. So I think that played into them not being vocal about needing to share with people. But over the course of time, we got to talking to them around the campfire, and they began to open up. And, you know, and then there was one night that you could tell that the devotions were really hitting home, especially with the father of or the husband of the couple. And
he even disappeared a couple of nights, and we found all this out later why he disappeared. It's just like you said, man, conviction was eating him up.
Yeah.
The word of God was just speaking to his heart.
Speaking to his heart.
And he knew he wasn't where he needed to be as a born again believer, so he was convicted by that.
Right. And so things rocked on. We went hunting and killed some game and different things like that, and the camp was rocking along. And you could just tell the tension was building, because these folks needed to talk with someone so bad. But it was almost like and we found this out later too, they just wanted the kids to be taken care of. They wanted them to have a good time. So and she actually told me, she said, I would rather you spend time with the kids doing what you do than to talk to me.
She's very selfless, you know. She
yes.
is all about the kids. And I know what you're leading up to here. Is I had given a devotion that last night together in camp, and it was on the rich young ruler. Man, the Holy Spirit just talked to you, just spoke to you right then, Jeff, right after the devotion.
Yes, you know, during the devotion, I just kept, and we had talked a little bit at supper, and she began to open up a little bit, and I went to her and I said, you know, can you want to talk for 5 minutes? And with tears in her eyes, she said, yes. She just opened up and just spilled out like pouring water out of a pitcher. And I listened and I listened and I listened, and it was one of those deals where, and this I think every Christian feels this if they get in this situation, it was like, you know, I want to go down to the drugstore and buy a pill that will fix all of this for you, and you take this pill and everything's going to be all right.
Right, right, right.
But we all know that there's no such thing as that, and that even burdens, you know, us even more that we can't. Fix those problems, but all we can do is share our experiences with her. And like I say, she was a believer already, and it was very evident after all this happened and we got to talk to her more. She is definitely a believer, but just has some issues in her past that needed to be worked out so that she can move on in the future. And, you know, you could just tell she was so passionate. And after we talked for our 5 minutes turned into, I don't know, probably an hour. And then she wanted to share what she shared with me, with Brad.
And oh, yes.
So
we do the devotion inside here, Craig and Zaria. They've got a nice place where we can just kind of go in, and it's quiet and out of the weather. And but right afterwards, I hung out with the kids. And they wanted to do s'mores. And so we did s'mores, and Jeff and the mom, they had pulled out to the side. I could see them, and they were, and I could hear her. I couldn't tell exactly what she was saying, but I'm going to tell you, she was talking a lot. I barely heard Jeff, and Jeff was just over there kind of with his, you know, hands crossed, just listening, you know, just kind of being that ear. And after that hour rocked along and the kids kind of broke up, and we all three sat around the fire pit, and man, I mean, this is one of the things that struck me about that evening, about that conversation, is this woman, number one, she has a heart for Jesus. She has a heart for wanting to serve him just as hard as she can go, but she was so open to us about really some chains that she had on her that were holding her back, that she was, you know, she was struggling with.
Yeah, and things that we can all relate to.
What struck me so just awesome was how open she was sitting there talking to me and you, Jeff, at the fire pit, holding nothing back. I struggle with this. This is a problem I have. I struggle with this. I need to let this go. All this stuff. And I'm like, man, thank you. This is, if people would just be that open and honest with God, man, they could do so much for him. And so, you know, through the 5 minutes turned in, I don't know. Jeff and I went to bed. It was about 11:30, 12 o'clock that night. So that, the joke is the 5 minutes turned into 5 hours, but it was such an encouragement for us to just, you know, for God to send us 15 and a half hours away on a plane and be able to sit there and listen and sharpen each other's iron and for us to encourage her. And, I can still hear her. The last word she said to us that night was that, man, she was fixing to go do business with God.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I didn't get a s'mores that night. I mean, I didn't get to eat one. I was talking to her, and they brought me one, and I was scared to put it in my mouth because, you know, if you eating the s'mores, you got all that marshmallow, and I felt like I couldn't talk and eat that at the same time, so I just stuck it in my pocket.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You stuck a s'mores in your pocket?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hope it's still there because I still want a s'mores. But anyway, yes, I will never forget that. In my life, and like Brad said, this woman has a heart for God, and not only did she address the things that was in her life that we all need to address that's in our life, but she also had scripture to back it up.
Man, she knows her Bible.
Amazing to me. She was just amazing with her ability to quote scriptures, and that just comes from being in the Word, you know, on a daily basis, and that was awesome. But yeah, what her departing words, you know, that she was fixing to go get it right. Brad and I went to our room, and she went off by herself. She didn't go to her room at that time. And, you know, we don't know what happened. We don't know what she said.
The last time I saw her, she was, you and I went in our room, and, man, she was headed down the driveway.
Down the driveway.
In the dark. And I was like, ooh, praise God. She's serious about doing business with God.
Yeah, and so we like he said, we went to bed that night, and we got up the next morning, and the fire pit is maybe 100 feet from our room that we're staying in, and we come out the door. Brad and I come out. I think we come out together. I really don't remember if we come out together or not. But anyway, when I come out, they were the husband and wife was already at the fire pit, and I mean this is way before daylight. This is even before we go hunting, and they're already out there talking, and we don't know what conversation went between them that night. Later, talking to the wife, she told me that she didn't sleep much last night, and it could have been just because she was talking to God all night, or just pure excitement of what had happened.
She told me, she says, I just couldn't wait to wake up this morning. Oh, man, that's good stuff.
That is. And so we went on to the fire pit, you know, got some coffee and sat down and didn't really, me and Brad was just kind of being available, you know, and just normal conversation about the day, you know, going hunting, what time we're going to do this, what time we're going to do that. And before I know it, we were just, flowed right into another conversation about what they were going through, and then the dad really started opening up.
He was there that morning, and it was like, okay, and I don't know this because we didn't get that deep of discussion with him after, you know, but it was almost like he had dealt with God. And man, he said, I'm back, I'm ready to talk now. And it was like, and you could look to me, I could look on his face, and it was like, man, you didn't look like that when you came in here. Right. Like he had done business with God.
Yeah, you could just see the light. You know, that's the only way I can explain it. You could just see, or not the light, but maybe the burden that was lifted off of him from carrying all that stuff. And,
you know, one thing, Jeff, that you said, or she had said, that really also sums up 30-30 Ministries in this camp was, it really reminded us, or reminded me, or of what we do, is she was so worried about, you know, man, focus on the kids, But it's yeah, and when we all started this ministry together in 2011, our hearts were for kids. Hey, man, we want to see kids hear the gospel, have a nice relaxing place to hear it and respond to it if the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, and that was our hearts. But how many times have we come to a 30-30 Ministries camp and the ministry is for the parents or the guides or for the host, the adults?
Yeah, well, you know, that was one of my issues when I first come on board with 30-30, Brad. That's kind of my 30-30 Ministries testimony, if there's any such thing. But, yeah, whenever I come on back then, however many years ago it was, I was always the kind of guy that wanted to fix it and fix it and fix it. And so I go into 30-30, and it's a youth camp. So, of course, my focus is going to be on fixing the kids, or you know, being with the kids, watch the kids, and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, there's been several different times where God has not spoken to, no, I wouldn't say not spoken to the kids, but they weren't a decision amongst the kids. But, it would, like you say, it would be a guide or somebody that just showed up to help, you know, serve food or a chaperone, you know, and I honestly believe that this camp was for those two parents. But saying that, we'll go on to the day that we had to depart. When we talked to the husband and wife around the campfire that morning, this is Monday morning, our departure is at lunch. So we talked to them, and we have a very good conversation, and hopefully we encourage them to work together, to grow themselves spiritually, even though they don't have the mentorship that they really, really need where they live at, or even a church to fall back on. At least come together as a man and wife and do the best you can do. And, of course, we gave them resources that they could contact anytime they needed to just talk. Or VIN or whatever it may be, they now have resources, even though they're in America, be across the sea, you know, when they're talking to them. But nevertheless, they now have more resources since 30-30's come over here than they had to start with. So I made mention to them during the final devotion that, hey, you know what this area needs. You're on fire for God, and you may be the ones will be mentoring in the future whenever y'all get stuff together. And so that was a very good conversation we had that morning. We went out hunting for the last time, come back, and then it was time to depart. And man, what a emotional time that was.
Wow. I have never seen so many tears shed at a 30-30 Ministries departure than I had yesterday when they left and they went home. And I mean, when we had one young man, they'd already been in the car several times, and then they'd come back and they'd hug us again, and then the third time, it's we gave them all Bibles, as we said, and it's like, well, we want you to sign our Bibles now. So that took another 20 minutes, and it was just like tears after tears, and. What was cool too, even, you know, what's cool about doing ministry here with Craig and Zaria is Craig and Zaria are born again believers. And man, after dealing with them through two different visits over here and doing ministry together, they have a heart for Jesus, serving Jesus. They have a heart for people. And so this woman had bonded with Zaria through the course of the camp. And man, she had to come back for three different hugs from Zaria, and it was just extremely emotional. And so it just a very, very, very special camp where the Holy Spirit was present. And after 109 camps, I don't think I've ever seen that much of a transformation from the start of a camp to the end of a camp. And man, what great proof that we flew around the world and the same God that we worship back in Georgia was here with us out here in the bush in South Africa, working in the lives of people. And I tell you, Jeff, that is special to be a part of right there.
Yeah, it is. Anytime, I mean, like you said, the whole van, seven kids and two, a man and his wife, and they wouldn't hardly have dry in the van. And in fact, I was stuck my head in the van to tell them goodbye one more time, and And one of the young men was just weeping. And he, you know, he had then told me, he said, I'm going to miss you. I don't know how many times. And he was just sobbing so bad. And he said, you were like my best friend.
Mm.
And I was, man, that just ripped my heart out.
One of the best memories that I'll take away from this camp is I was doing my second devotion. During this camp, we had four different devotions. I preached twice, and then Jeff preached twice. And I was in my second devotion on that last night together. And I was preaching common passage of Scripture, the rich young ruler, where, of course, we know that money won't send people to hell. Money's not sinful. Stuff in itself is not sinful. But the love of that stuff is sinful. You know, Jesus asked him, said, you've done all these things. You've obeyed almost all these commandments. But there's one thing you hadn't do. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And, of course, the rich young ruler, he said, man, he couldn't do that because he loved his money, his stuff, more than Jesus, and he wouldn't follow him. And I'm sitting there preaching this message, Jeff, and this young man in sitting there in the chair off to my left, he just raises his hand in the middle of our devotion. We're not used to that, number one, but that's okay. That's fantastic. So I finished up my sentence or my thought, and I pointed to him. I said, yes, sir, what do you have to say? And he just looked at me, and he says, if Jesus asked me to sell everything, I would do it. And I was just like, really? Did you just say that?
Yeah.
I was like, and I didn't know the spiritual where this kid was with Jesus, but I was like, if he's not saved, he now fully understands what salvation is about. And he's getting saved tonight. Of course, I found out he was saved when he was been about 3 years ago. But I was like, man, when we always say this in camp, or I do, and I'm around us, salvation is simple. It's wanting Jesus more than yourself. And I was like, Jeff, I was like, this kid at his young age, he was 11 years old, he gets it.
Yeah. And the Bible's full of verses that say that we have to come to Christ as a child, because as an adult, I guess so many distractions and so many desires and wants gets in the way. And some people say it's easier for somebody who don't got much to give up more than somebody who's got a lot, but it's simply not true. It's the same thing. It is exactly the same thing. A poor man gives up everything he's got, and a rich man gives up everything he's got. It's the same.
Yes.
But before we end this, if I can, I'd like to give a plug out for Craig and Zier and African Expectation Safaris, because it is such a wonderful organization. If there's anybody that ever wants to hunt in the bush, that's who I would recommend.
Absolutely. And you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because that's kind of how I wanted to close this out too. And by the way, Craig and Zaria, they know we're out here doing a podcast. They have no idea what we're saying. And they are not in this to try to up their business. They are honestly, if you're sitting, I don't know where in the world you're listening to this podcast right now, but if you're looking for a place to come safari hunt, and maybe you're a Christian and you're listening to this, these are two born-again believers, and they first came to us last year, or it's been about 18 months ago now, because very simply they wanted to use what they said God has blessed them with, which is a successful business here in South Africa, and they wanted to use it for His glory and to reach people. And that is just who they are. And they are genuine. They are real. They are extremely family friendly. They love children. And it's for some, it may be scared to go to South Africa or, you know, another country. And Craig and Zaria love people. And man, I would stake my entire reputation on the line that says these are the real deal people here. And they are. So definitely consider them if you're looking to take a trip to South Africa. And just like Jeff said, if you don't even have to come over here and pull the trigger, if you want to come over here and do things like they do photo safaris, and you know, just to see the land, and you can go to Kruger National Park and take pictures, and you'll see the big five, the elephants, the lion, the rhinos, the Cape buffalo, all of them. So they are the people that I would recommend for anybody who wants to come over here and do something like that. Well, Jeff, I know it wasn't exactly twisting your arm to come down here under some shade trees and look over a watering hole and look at kudu and talk on the podcast, but man, I appreciate you. You know what, Jeff? I appreciate you listening to God's call on your life and coming into the 30-30 Ministries circle and doing ministry, which started with you pouring tea at McCraney Quail Plantation for Marcy and Brian and our partners down there. And now here you are several years later answering the call in the ministry through 30-30 Ministries still, but in South Africa. So it is an awesome, awesome thing to get to do, an awesome, incredible door that God's opened. But, Jeff, you have had to be away from your family for 10 days. So just want to thank you for that, and thank you for coming out here and just kind of enlightening our listeners and sharing with them a little bit more about what we're doing down here.
Thank you, Brad. It is a humbling thing to think about how God's evolved me in the 30-30s. And that's really a whole different podcast. I won't take up a lot of time with all that story right now, but it is very humbling, and I am honored to serve with 30-30. It's such a wonderful organization.
Well, that's good. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's leave here, get back in the truck, or as they call it down here, a bucky.
Bucky.
Bucky, yes, that's right. So let's get back to the lodge, and we've got some other campers who are coming in, and we're just excited to meet them and just see what God's plan for that camp is. I always say, if it happens the way that we think it's going to happen, Jeff, as my pastor told me one time, it's going to be pretty boring. And it never seems to happen like we think it is. This first camp was proof of that. Wouldn't have guessed that happened. So we'll be praying for sure that this camp isn't has anything to do with us or our thoughts or our plans or our visions or whatever. But, man, we'll just continue to pray that God's plan rolls out in camp number two and we just continue to follow his lead. Thank you for listening to the 30-30 Ministries podcast, where God's aim is our mission. For more information, check out our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, or go to the website at 3030ministries.org.